Let's begin. Okay, before we go further, I just want to go over a couple of things from about Muksa. I told you I would go back to discuss some modern applications of Muksa. Okay, just browse through this sefer very, very quickly. Muksa, a practical guide by Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn. Okay, so there are a couple of things. A lot of the things that we learned, you know, we covered in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch laid out all of the yesodos. So I don't want to repeat things that we've done, but just some new things that caught my attention. One thing that a theme that goes through this entire set from beginning to end, which I don't really think the kids are discussed that much, is two different categories of kelim shemalachtam liyaser. We learned about a kli shemalachtam liyaser, so utensils that's used to do a malacha, is muksa. You're not allowed to move it, and the only time you can, the only exception when you can move it in a normal way is letzarech gufay or letzarech mekoyma. For example, a hammer. A hammer is called a kli shemalachta liyaser. A hammer is used to do an iser. What is the iser? Boine. You use a hammer to build something on Shabbos. Building on Shabbos is a malacha deraisa. So it's a kli shemalachta liyaser. It's lying on the table. It smokes. You're not allowed to pick it up in the usual way. However, there are leniencies with regard to a kelim shemalachtam liyaser. You are allowed to move them if it's letzarech gufay, I need to use it for a permissible purpose, or lemekoymai, I need the place that this object occupies. So if I want to use a hammer to crack nuts, it's a classic example, you're allowed to use the hammer to crack nuts. Or let's say I want the hammer is on the dining room table, and I want to sit down and set up a place setting on this location, I'm allowed to pick up the hammer in the usual way and move it out of the way. Now here in this sefer, this thing, and he goes through all many examples, but he first lays out the rule. There are two different types of kelim shemalachtam liyaser. There's a kli shemalachtam liyaser that has a permissible use, like a hammer. What is a hammer? Most of the time you use the hammer to do a malach of boine, to build. That's what you use a hammer for. But a hammer is also used for permissible purposes. Sometimes you use a hammer to break nuts. We use it, I don't know, you can come up with other examples. You use hammers for other things. When we have this yesod, we're brainwashed with this yesod that a kli shemalachtai le'isr, you're allowed to be metalat l'tzorchuv mekomo. According to most poskim, it's only discussing a kli that also has a permissible use, like a hammer. I have a permissible use. I have a hammer. I used nails, and I can use it to crack nuts. But if you have a kli, it's a utensil, shemalachta liyaser, that has absolutely no permissible use. The only use you use it for is for something which is forbidden. Then it's a machlokes hapoiskim if you're allowed to move it, even letzarech gufay or mechum. Now you'll find a use for it. I want to use it as a paperweight. Okay, I'll give you one example. The example he gives here are car keys. It's very interesting. Car keys. What are car keys? They're kalim. It's a utensil. It opens up a lock. It's not a stone. A stone is muksa machmas gufay. A car key is a utensil. But it's a utensil which only has one function. You don't do anything with car keys other than turn on the ignition. Do you have any other? You ever see someone use car keys for anything other than turning on the ignition? Maybe you'll find one in a million that will use it for some crazy purpose. But car keys, you open up a box, right? Opening up a box. Yeah, the car keys aren't good for that. You have to use a regular key for that. And also, you can't do that on Shabbos. Also, malach on Shabbos. So one of the examples he gives, and he gives many examples, he goes through the whole thing, he always analyzing, are car keys. Car keys are kalim, shemalachtam liyaser, what he calls category 2, which have no permissible use whatsoever. Now, the car key is a very common example. Car keys on the dining room table. And now I come home and want to eat my Suda Shabbos. And they're in the way. I want to move the keys off the table because I want to set up a place setting. If there was a hammer on the table, there's nothing to talk about. A hammer is a kli, shemalachta liyaser, category number 1. It has a forbidden use, has a permissible use. It's primarily forbidden use, so it's muksa. But being that it also has a permissible use, and now I want it, and it's in my way, it's a kli shemalachta liyaser category number 1, I'm allowed to move it out of the way. But a kli shemalachta liyaser category number 2, which only has a forbidden use, not so fast are you allowed to move it out of the way in order to set up a place. B'diyaved, you can be make. In other words, if you have somewhere else to eat, go eat somewhere else. If you really have nowhere else to eat, then b'diav you can make or you can move it out of its way. A hammer, even if you have another 20 places to eat, and you want to b'daf eat here, l'chatchila you can pick up the hammer the normal way and move it out of its way. So this is very important. You saw. Yes. Oh, so now no. Very good. So now, first of all, we have to always a table of buses. Is a table of buses. When you put the hammer down on the table before Shabbos, it was in your cover that the table that the hammer should be here for the remainder of Shabbos. If the answer was yes, you're not allowed to move the table. The table then is a bus. The table may not be moved. Tilting the table is handling the table in a usual way, and it may not be used. I mean, not be tilted. Now, let's say the table was not. You never had kavanah that the hammer should be placed here for the remainder of Shabbos. It was an accident that it was put here b'nas shmashos. Then yes, you're allowed to move. The hammer is not a good example because the hammer is a clear shemalachta is sir category number one where you lechatchila can pick up the hammer off the table and move it out of the way. But let's about the car keys. So this let's discuss a new topic. It's called tiltal min hatzat. Anytime you have a situation where you are not allowed to be metaltal muksa, that basically means you can't be metaltal in a usual way. I can't pick it up. Now let's discuss all the various categories. See, this he was not really brought out that much in the Shemus and Mahalacha. He discusses all the various categories. I have on the table muksa. I have car keys. I'm not allowed to move the car keys because it's let's be machmer. It's clear shemach. But I can move something that's muksa. What's called tiltal min hatzat. Now there are two different categories of tiltal min hatzat. One category is I move the whole table. I don't directly come in contact with the car keys, but the way I'm going to move the car keys is by picking up the whole table,
sliding
the table. Well, sliding the table is the category number two. Let me explain. Let's say this whole thing is in my way. There are car keys on the table. I want this space to be clear. I want people to walk through this area. I want the space to be clear. The table is definitely not a busis because the car keys were left here by accident. So as far as moving the table is concerned, I can move the table. Problem is, there are car keys. And the car keys are muksa. I'm not allowed to move the car keys. Or let's say I have a stone. Someone put that in a real case. The muksa machmas gufay. A stone is muksa. It has no purpose whatsoever. Sand, earth, or anything which has no function. I'm not allowed to move that because that's mamish muksa. I'm not allowed to move something that's muksa machmas gufay letzorich gufay o mokomo. So what do? You're stuck. You're not stuck. You can move some of that muksa through what's called tiltal min hatzat. Category number one, tiltal min hatzat, means I pick up the table in a normal way, and it just so happens by moving the table, I'm also indirectly moving the muksa. Did I touch the muksa?
The keys itself. Why should they be muksa? If you have house keys.
I'm not talking about a keychain.
You have house keys.
What do you think
muksa? No, we're not talking about house keys. House keys are not muksa.
The keys, right?
We're not talking about house keys. House keys are not muksa because house keys, you open up a lock, there's no prohibition.
The key itself.
What is a car key? A car key. What do you use a car key for? Ignition. Ignition. It's all it serves.
I'm talking about a key.
What kind of key? It depends.
You can't just say a key. You have to say what kind of a key.
He's saying, why is a key?
That's a lack of understanding what the word muksa means.
What do you use the car key for? To turn on the ignition. Turning on the ignition.
You want to move it away.
What is a car key? What is the function of a car key? What is the function of a car key? That's what defines muksa.
Muksa means it's not necessary for Shabbos.
Okay, let's say you don't use your house keys. Okay, let's say you don't use your house keys.
It doesn't matter.
You can't use the open.
You call it by the same word, key,
but it can't be used for anything but a car.
Okay, let's go back. Tiltul min atzad. Category number one is tiltul min atzad means you. But opening up, the lock. You don't have to go look at the business. Opening up the lock is not the malacha. Turning on the ignition of a car is the malacha.
Of course.
So therefore, it's a different type of utensil. A hammer is used to break to bang in nails. It's a kli shemalachta liyaser. A fly swatter is a kli that's used to kill flies. You're not allowed to kill flies on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. So it's a kli shemalachta liyaser. It's also, you're not allowed to move it. But since it's in the category of a kli shemalachta liyaser, there are exceptions. It's mutter machmas gufay for a permissible purpose or l'tzach mekomo. Something that is muksa machmas atzmo, it's not even a utensil, it's a stone, is more severe. You're not allowed to move it even if you have a good purpose to use a paperweight or you need its location. Okay, but let's go back to the case we're discussing over here. Whenever you are not allowed, after you have established that you're not allowed to move an item that is muksa, all that means is the major leniencies. All that means is you can't pick it up in a normal way. But you are, in many instances, allowed to move it, what's called tiltul min hatzad. If I'm not mistaken, there are five different categories of moving something. Tiltul min hatzad, category number one is, I pick up the entire table. And again, in a situation where the table is not a busis. So I pick up the table in a regular way, with my two hands, the same way I would move a table during the week. The only difference is, when I pick up the table, I'm now moving muksa. Muksa is in motion. But being that I'm not directly making contact with the muksa, it's being moved indirectly, that's called tiltul min hatzad, and that is mutter. If I need, let's assume the case is, I'm moving it because I need the space. I need the space that... For the purpose, so that's even a little more severe. Okay, I'm getting all the rules.
No,
that's a different case. They're moving the mace itself. That's worse. That's much worse. That's because nivel hamace, we made an exception. Nivel hamace when you have.
You can't move it without the challah or the child on it.
Right. So you have to. That's what you have to do. But that's an exceptional case. There is a case of nivel hamace and tzarch mitzvah. You're turning a muksa object into an object that's going to support something else. It's a different category. I hear what you're saying, but it's a different category. I want to talk now about an object which itself is muksa, so it's lying on the table. You're not allowed to move the object itself to car keys, but you can move it by moving the entire table. Category number one. Category number two is, you take another item that's mutter. You take a spoon, you take a fork from the kitchen, and with the fork, you push it off the table. You push it off the table. So therefore, that's called tiltul min hatzad, category number two. Because here, I'm moving it directly. My force is connecting with it, but I'm not actually picking it up. I'm moving it through a secondary item. Both of those categories are pretty much the same. Those are both called categories of tiltul min hatzad, which are equal. And when you need the space, you can do it in that fashion. But let's say the reason why you're moving it is not because you need this space. It could be, I'm pretty sure I'm saying it's correct, but I might be mistaken. If I'm mistaken, it's still good to illustrate the concept, which can be applied in other cases when you'll study this in much greater depth. Let's say I don't need the space. A reason why I want to move it is because the sun is shining, and it's in the rays of the sun, it's going to get ruined. I have something which is very delicate, or it's right under the air conditioner and sensitive to the cold, or it's under the steam, or there's a water that's dripping, or water is about to drip. So the reason why I want to move the car keys is because I want to get it out of the way for its own benefit. Tiltul min hatzad is not mutter. Tiltul min hatzad is only mutter when you need the place, not when you're moving it for the benefit of the object itself. Even though I'm not directly touching it, I'm moving it either by moving the table or by moving it with another item, that's not. But there's a solution, there's always a solution. And the solution is the metalta through neyar, or neyar is category number three, where you shake it. Shaking means I'm not even moving the table in the normal way. How am I moving the table? Normally, when you pick up the table in a normal way, that's called tiltul min hatzad. But if I shake the table, you don't normally shake a table during the week. And by shaking the table, you cause it to fall off. That's already a new madrega. It's a drop less direct. I'm moving it. I'm having kavana what I'm doing, but I'm shaking the table, and that's causing the muksa to move off. That
the same thing as tilting the table?
Yeah, tilting the table. Yeah, yeah. It's called ne'er, tilting the table. So your example. And then there's the ultimate permissible way to move muksa for almost any purpose whatsoever is begufay. Besides your hands, you can move it with your elbow, with your foot.
You
get up on the table and you give it a kick.
You can kick it.
So that pretty much solves every muksa problem.
You can kick
anytime you have a problem with muksa,
elbow it.
Elbow it, exactly. Elbow it. Elam haba, then your elbow. So you might as well take advantage of this world. You might as well take advantage of the elbows in this world and use your elbow to move muksa objects. So basically, when it comes to move muksa, you'll always have a solution. That's the result. You'll always have a solution. You can either move it directly, or really you can move muksa directly, from when it's permitted. You can move it minatzad. Minatzad, according to Rabbi Cohen, there are two categories of minatzad. There's minatzad, moving an object in a normal way that's supporting it, or moving it in a normal way through another tool. I'll take a fork, and with the fork, I'll move it. I'm very deliberate, very precise in how I move it. Minatzad is only mutter when you're moving it letzarach mekaymai, but it's not mutter when you're moving it for the benefit of the muksa object itself. When I need to move the muksa object because of the muksa object itself, then you can do category 2 and 3 neyar. Neyar means you shake the table. So I'm not even moving the table in a normal way. And that is mutter in many instances. Then there are examples where even that would be also. Let's say it's muksa machmas chesar and kiss. I think when it's muksa machmas chesar and kiss, then the only way you can move it is through the most extreme type of indirect movement, which is called tiltal big gufay. So that's the yesoy to remember. Yeah, okay, all the cases that we can't go. I don't know all the details, but basically, there are four categories. Menatzad category 1. Menatzad category 2. There is neyar, and then there is something called tiltal big gufay. Okay, now let's go to another. Let's go through some.
Why do you have to remember 1 to 4, 5 is the easiest?
That's right. Because sometimes it might not be practical.
Same.
Sometimes it's just not practical to do number 5. But in the chanami, you could always come on to that. Okay, let's just go through some examples of some practical. Okay, another before we go for one more concept. We've discussed the idea of migul diskatzel ben hashmashos, diskatzel lekuluyuma. The muksa is determined that it's the status of an object bein hashmashos. If something is muksa ben hashmashos, it means muksa for the entire day. Now that's not always the case. There's a concept in the laws of muksa called garmo bidei shamayim and garmo bidei adam. If you know that something will become usable when Shabbos arrives, right now during the entire bein hashmashos it's not usable, you know that when Shabbos arrives it will become usable, do we say that since bein hashmashos it was muksa, too bad, it remains muksa for the remainder of the day? For example, it's 5 minutes before candle lighting and I have dirty laundry soaking wet. The dirty laundry is soaking wet. I mean, it's already been washed, it's in the washer, but it's wet. Is it usable the way the laundry is in its state right now? Absolutely not. If I leave it in the washing machine and wait 24 hours, it'll smell. Right? If you don't dry it right away, it's going to smell. So the way it is right now, it's not usable. It's the clothing in the washing machine when Shabbos begins is mamash muksa. There's nothing to talk about. And then what I do is I take the clothing and I put the clothing in the dryer. You're allowed to do this, l'chatchila. You put the clothing in the dryer 5 minutes before, 1 minute before candle lighting, and you turn on the dryer to go for 90 minutes. It'll go right through your bein hashmashos, and it'll be dry when it comes to 90 minutes, it'll be dry. Are you allowed to turn on the washing machine so that it should dry over Shabbos? Absolutely yes, of course. There's no prohibition. Why not? You can take it out as long as you don't turn any lights. As long as you have a washing machine that doesn't have a light that goes on. Oh. So you ask a question that the laundry should be muksa, right? Because since the laundry, during the entire bein hashmashos, the laundry was still wet, it was not yet dried. Migud iskatzela bein hashmashos, iskatzela kuluyuma. To the rescue comes Chazal, concept, gormo bidei shamayim is mudra. If you do something now that you know for sure it will be ready when Shabbos begins, even though now during Bein HaShemoshos it's Muksa, it's Mutter on Shabbos. It's within my power to make it dry, to make sure that it's dry when Shabbos begins by turning on the washing machine right at the dryer 5 minutes before Shabbos, and al derech ha-teva, it's going to dry thoroughly by tonight, even though during the entire period of Bein HaShemoshos it was Muksa. It's we don't apply the rule.
The door to open it
is not muksa. It's a yechanami. Discussed that in one of the sections here. The door of a dryer is a kli shemalachtoi l'isser. A dryer is a dover, is an electrical device, whatever it is, but it's certainly in the category of kli shemalachtoi l'isser. Litzarech mekoymoi is mutter. To get into the dryer to retrieve the objects inside, you're moving the door. Litzarech mekoymoi. It is mutter. You can close the door. L'chatchila, once you open the door of the dryer to take out your laundry, you should not close the door of the dryer. And you have to make sure that a light does not go on. Many of the new dryers, they have these little LED lights which assist you in seeing what's inside. Some do not. Well, maybe there's some indicator. I don't know. All these high-tech gadgets today to make sure you know indicators are going on when you open up the dryer door. I don't think most... So this is something which is mutter. On the other hand, again, to contrast, the example that he gives, let's say you hang up your laundry to dry outdoors on a line. People still do this today? Some people do this today. Some people do this today.
Something with noise.
Avsha Milsa, very good. If the washing machine, the dryer, you're right, it's not Shabbosik. You're right. It's a problem. If it does make noise and people in the house hear it, you're right, then it's Avsha Milsa. But if it's discreet, it's in the basement and they don't, today, some, a lot of these new gizmos, they make a lot less noise. Then that, everyone today is into noise. They advertise you should insulate your house. You think, right, to save money on the electrical bill? They gave up on that already because that's not enough an incentive for people to spend $7,000. So the incentive is quiet. And they look at the advertisements. They never wrote this in the old days. Insulate your house with all these high-tech insulations. It improves quality of life. Indoors, it's quiet. The insulation blocks the sound from the outside. It's a big thing today. All the technology, a lot of technology to take away noise. So the point here is that let's say you hang up your clothing outdoors on a line in order for it to dry in the wind. And the truth is, it all depends on the weather. If it's a nice warm day, it'll dry on Shabbos. If it's not nice and warm, then it won't dry. It'll take another day. It'll take until Sunday, till Monday, until it'll be thoroughly dried. So it's not going to happen. It's not in your power. Whose power is it in? It's in Hashem's power. Garmo, and then get lucky. I hung up my laundry to dry Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemoshos. It was wet, soaking wet the entire Bein HaShemoshos. Nigud Yiskatsoi. There is a possibility that it will dry on Shabbos, and I have that in mind, but it's not a guarantee. Maybe yes, maybe not. If it will happen, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to bring out the Chama Min HaArtika in order to cause the laundry to dry. I get lucky, it dries. Are you allowed to use laundry on Shabbos? No. You're not allowed to use laundry on Shabbos. Why? Because here we do not apply the principle of law. We apply here the principle of Nigud Yiskatsoi. So this is a very important yisod. This Nigud Yiskatsoi. But in Nigud Yiskatsoi, if you put into motion a process where it will be Garmo Bidei Adam, it will be ready on Shabbos begins, there is no Nigud Yiskatsoi, and it's mutter to use. If it's Garmo Bidei Shemaim, it's not in your hands, maybe yes, maybe not, it's not a guarantee. If it happens, then we do apply the principle of Nigud Yiskatsoi. An example of this is putting laundry into the dryer. Even though the laundry Bein HaShemoshos is muksa, it serves no function, but you put the dryer on, you know it's going to get dried. By the time Shabbos Friday night arrives, it's going to be completely dry. There's no muksa, even though it was wet the entire Bein HaShemoshos. You can open the door. Opening of the door, you're opening up a kli shemalach to liyisr, litzarech gufa, litzarech mekoyma is mutter, to retrieve the laundry. Just, you're not allowed to close the door of the dryer. Okay, there, if you have dirty laundry, are you allowed to put dirty laundry in a washing machine, not turn it on, of course? Yes. Why light up a while? Why? Because what do you have to open up the door? Opening up the door, the same thing is a klish and malachterli iser, letzarech mekoymai is mutter, and you can throw the laundry in there to store instead of the laundry sticking up the house. You can throw the laundry directly into the washing machine on Shabbos itself. There are a lot of things of muksa that people are shocked. What? No, there's no purpose. Unless the graf shall rei. Unless you don't want it to smell, then you can't close it. It's
not using that clothing that dried on Shabbos.
Yes, we just said yes. We just said yes. It's not muksa. Absolutely. If you put the clothing in, as long as they put it into a dryer, and you know for a fact that it's going to dry, it's garmu bidei adam, it's mutter. Even though seemingly this would violate the principle of nigud yiskatzai. The answer is Chazal built in an escape clause to nigud yiskatzai, where it's garmu bidei adam. You're allowed to the laundry as well. And you're allowed to use it. Both are mutter. Doing the laundry is mutter because there's no prohibition of shvisas kalim. People confuse shvisas kalim with shvisas behemtai. If you have an animal, let's say the only way the laundry is going to get dry is the animal is going to pedal. Okay? You have a horse that's going to pedal. And horsepower. Going to spin the engine. Then you're not allowed to use the clothing because he did an Isser Deraisa. Shvisas behemtai is an Isser Deraisa. Part of the Aseres Adibros. Serious business. That's the Isser Deraisa. But Shvisas Kalim, we don't have too many problems today with Shvisas Behemtai.
On a clothesline, you must go one thing you put it on Thursday.
Yeah.
Got about it. And all of a sudden, Shabbos, you're looking for your shirt. You need it to go to shul.
You have to make a determination.
It's on.
You have to make a determination. What was its status, Ben Hashmashas? If during Ben Hashmashas it was still wet,
it was dry.
Mutter, of course it's mutter.
It's mutter. Right?
Mutter, of course it's mutter.
But you're saying, the closet.
What?
You put it before when it's still wet during the entire Bein Hashmashas period, it's soaking wet. So then it's nigud yiskatzai. So the solution is what's going to be on Shabbos. So if it's going to dry naturally and it's not a guarantee, sometimes it does dry and doesn't dry. That's where we apply the principle of Lishmaim is going to be aser. Okay, let's discuss just a couple of examples. Okay, tefillin. This is a very common shayla. People need a talis for Shabbos, and they left their Shabbos talis somewhere else, and the only talis they have available is in their tefillin bag. Bechlala tefillin muksa. What? So halacha l'maaseh, we pass in tefillin on muksa. That's what he brings down. He brings down here. And then it's very interesting. Our tefillin muksa. Why they muksa tefillin? The kli, right? Except for a fire, correct? If it's a fire, then because of bizur, then the chazal an escape clause where it's built in. You're allowed to move tefillin when they are in a state of bizoyin, and it's going to get a fire, get water damage, fire damage.
You're allowed to pick it up.
If it's bizoyin, you're allowed to pick it up, and there's fire, water damage, it's mutter. And if it's in the street, the best thing to do is to put them on. If you find them on the street. And you find like you have, there are stories like this with the Ganovim. Rachman will stun the Ganovim, still need to store in the garbage. They pass by, you see it's in the garbage. What you should do is you should put them on. And there's no Erev. If you get a guy, that would be the best thing to do, is to get a guy to take them in. But if you can't find a guy to take them in, and every single moment counts, let's say it's raining, it's snowing, it's very cold, and they're getting damaged, so the best thing to do is to put them on. Don't carry the boxes. You put them on, and you go into a shul, and then you take them off. And that's the best you can do. Now, what about Lena, why in the house? Let's say, you're home, you have a pair of tefillin on the table. What category? Define for me the nature of the tefillin. Are tefillin muksa machmas gufay? Are they called kalim? Are they kli muksa machmas kiss? It's very chomer. Or is it a kli shemlach taliyis and lach taliyatar? So the place can say it's a kli, and if it's a kli shemlach taliyisar, is it a category number one or is it category number two? So the answer is, it's a kli shemalach toili iser. That's the status, because you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. Shabbos is a zman when you don't wear tefillin. Tefillin is not, and that makes it into an iser. It's a strange thing. I mean, that's why I'm telling you this, because it's very hard to define tefillin. Let me read you what it says in the footnote. They are, however, considered a category one kalim shemalachtam le'isr, since one. Now he goes to the why. Now, why is it not category number two? The Mishnah Berurah says this, and I guess the lumdus is because you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. This is another important yisod. We typically, the Shuranim Yisod Malacha actually discussed this. We read this very fast. That what's the iser? A hammer is a kli shemalachta li iser. What's the iser? You're not allowed to bang in nails. Oh, that's very good, because that relates to Shabbos. Muksa is a Shabbos issue. So if you can't bang your nails, this is a Shabbos related. It fits very well into the laws of Muksa. But not wearing tefillin has really nothing to do with the Lamed Tes Melachos. Shabbos is sacred, it's an oath, so you don't need...
So Shabbos is the ice, so you don't need the ice.
Exactly. So you don't wear the tefillin because Shabbos, but it's not because you're doing one of the Lamed Tes Melachos.
Who says Muktzah has to do with the Lamed?
Oh, very good. Who says that category of a clear Shemalachdali Isser has to do with the Lamed Tes? That's the point. The Shemalachdali Isser Lacha mentioned this. If you ask the average person.
If you have a broken tool.
Yeah.
It's still a clear Shemalachdali.
What's the Isser? What are you broken tool? No, it's worse. A broken tool is muksa machmas atzmai, machmas gufa. It's much worse.
And the handle is split.
It's muksa machmas gufa. No, it's muksa machmas gufa, and you're not allowed to move it. You're not allowed to move it, even the tzarech gufa mukarmai. It's no, you don't use the paperweight. That's not what.
It's like a stone.
It's a stone, yeah.
I don't know.
And it's muksa.
Do you have tools that are broken in a toolbox?
If they're not fit for use, it's muksa machmas gufa.
I mean, I have a pliers that I use as a hammer. The pliers don't open right.
No, that's not the typical use. But leidaitai. That's not the typical use. A kli shemalachta. The chiddush.
Broken, you can't use it straight.
So it's muksa machmas gufay. It's muksa machmas gufay. It's function. The function that it was created for is not usable.
It's not that good because of the
Shabbos. Oh, that's the chiddush. Tefillin. This is a very good example. Tefillin. You don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. You're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos because it's zilzum kedusha Shabbos. You don't do it. It's called usser. And once it's also to wear tefillin on Shabbos, it becomes a kli, but tefillin is still called a kli. It's not machmas gufa, it's a kli shemalach delisa. So here's the question, this is an unbelievable question, and he has beautiful discussion. Tefillin then should be called a kli, shemalach delisa, category number two. This is his major theme in this entire sefer. He keeps on coming back to this 100 times. I don't think you have this in any other sefer. Every time he talks about a klisha malach d'liyaser, he always analyzing this. Is a klisha malach d'liyaser category number one, or a klisha malach d'liyaser category number two? L'char, you would say it's category number two. What could you use tefillin for on Shabbos? Absolutely nothing. Nothing permissible. A hammer. You can use a hammer to bang in nails. You can use a hammer to break nuts. Tefillin. Is there something you can possibly use tefillin for that is permissible? What?
Tie up your children.
To what?
Tie up your children.
You can't do that either with their straps. But behold, why are you looking like that? What's so... Okay, so what are you going to use tefillin for? For nothing.
What?
So you use it for nothing, so it's a category two. Okay, this is very no halacha ma'is, because this is a very common shaila. People have tefillin, need a talis, and the only talis they have available is together with their tefillin. And in order to get the talis, they're going to have to move the tefillin. So if you're going to say that tefillin is stamazoy kli shemalachdoli iser category number one, which bechlal is a chiddush, because what's the iser? It's a Shabbos day iser, it's not a Muktzah day iser. Okay, it's category number one. You're allowed to move tefillin. Letzaruch mekoymai. But based upon the iser that he sets out in big bold letters with all these funny things in the beginning of the sefer, that category klish malach delisa category number two, stand back, not so fast, not so simple. You can move with lutzach gufay lutzach mekaymai tefillin. You can make it. You can argue is a klish malach delisa category number two, has absolutely no permissible function. And if you have a talis, and if you have a talis, yeah, what? But by moving the talis, the only way you can get to your talis is by taking off the tefillin, by moving the tefillin. You're moving the tefillin to tzaruch mekoymai, and a kli shemelachta liyisur category number two. That's one situation. Everyone is different. Not everyone packages their talis and tefillin in a way where you can get to the talis on top. You normally put the talis on top.
Right.
Okay, but sometimes it doesn't always work out. In echnami, then you'd have to be careful to do it. But the question is, can you do it in a bakovetik way? If you hold that it's a kli shemalach to liyisa, category number one, I can take it with covet. I can actually open up the bag, remove the tefillin in the proper way in order to take out the talis. I want to take the whole bag with me. I want the whole bag. So I want to take out the tefillin, put it on the table, so I can take the bag, just the talis, the big nafkaminas. So he says, well, that's so fast. It's a kli shemalach to liyisa, category number two. Category number two is problematic. He can't move on to gum koimai. So he says, no. Chiddush. Tefillin?
You're saying as the fork, you have the bag.
Yeah.
Before the car keys, you can move with the fork.
Right. So yeah, you'll then have to do indirect. You'll have to do it in an indirect way. You're right. If you're going to hold that it's category number two, you're going to be forced into shaking it, neyar, or beguv with your elbow, or mitelteleman outside. You're getting into all of those issues. But do we have to get into those issues? Why can't you just move it with your hands directly? So he says, tefillin are still called kli shemalach d'liyisa, category number one, because you can take out the tefillin to learn the halachas. Let's say you're giving a shiur.
You take your child.
Gevaldik. Isn't the Gevaldik a chiddush? You can take out a Shabbos, you're learning Hilchas Tefillin. Who says you can't learn Hilchas Tefillin on Shabbos? Kol HaKavod. Open up. Learn Mesechta. Let's say you're learning Mesechta Daf Yomi Mesechta Menachos. Perek HaTcheles. Right, is that the way the sugya tefillin is?
Yeah.
Pekat chelas, and you're learning the shita. There's a shita of a tefillin of Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Shimush Rabba, and all the shitas. You want to look at the tefillin to understand. You're allowed to. It's a kli. You're allowed to. During the daf yomi, can you imagine this? A chitz lahalacha. Daf yomi, masech the Shabbos. The magid shir is allowed to take out the tefillin during the shir on Shabbos. It's a kli. Shemalach tali iser litzarich gufoi. I want to show the talmidim a chiddush in the din tefillin. They should understand this.
Why is it then a kli shemalach tali iser altogether?
Because you're not allowed to put on tefillin on Shabbos. That's what we said.
You're not allowed
to put on tefillin. The primary use of tefillin. Why do you have tefillin? To put on tefillin. So tefillin is a kli shemalach d'liyis. Not a Shabbos tika isav lamates malachas, but an isser and anhaga. You don't put on tefillin on Shabbos. It's also. Why not? You're putting it back with tzarech gufa. You have to be shomor. It has to be guarded. Tzarech gufa. You want it to be guarded. You want that's what that's called chamal itzel. Now it comes to shalom b'zayin. I don't know. I don't know anything about these things. You have to go study in more detail. But it's a beautiful yisoid. Since mikra, then you can use film to learn to illustrate halacha. So therefore, it's category kli shemalach d'liyisa, category number one. Category number one. You're allowed to move lichat chila biyadayim with no kunsim, no tittle minatzad, no neir, no elbows. You can move directly. So if you have a situation of simcha, you're making a simcha, and a guest comes over to you and says, I need an extra talis. I need a talis. So you don't have to go and play games. You go take your talis bag off the shelf, you open it up, you take out the talis, and you don't have to go to worry about a busis and tiltal and this and that, no matter what it is. In the worst scenario, it's not worse than a kli shemalach d'liyisa, category number one, which you're allowed to be metaltal, be yodayim amish, litzarech gufoy, u litzarech mekoymoy.
That's the same thing you should in the shul. There's
film
on the table, and you need the table because you're making a
kiddush. You're allowed to move it because then it's a klish. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. It's not cool. Category number two, you're allowed to move it in the way. Absolutely. That's what he passes here. This now, okay, just to finish up now, let's say, this is very interesting finish. Let's say you are, Bnei Tar, you see this a lot by the Kol Yungalite. They have a boy that's already by what?
Kol Yungalite, they're sitting here, right?
They're sitting here, right? That's right. That's right. And you're buying.
I've seen
this in yeshiva. Okay, they're buying new tefillin for themselves, or they're buying tefillin. Let's say they're getting ready. They have for their children getting bar mitzvah. So they like to get a little bit involved. They like to get their hands wet. So they go and they buy parshios, and they buy from one person the batin, one person the parshios, bring the sod, put everything together. So they take a lot of pride in the parshios, and they like to show people. Well, look at the parashah say, but look at the ksav. Paid only $1,000 for the ksav. And they basically show off the parashios. And all they have in front of them are the parashios. On Shabbos, you come to your friend, to the Shabbos, do you want to see the parashios that I bought for my grandson? I bought him new parashios for bar mitzvah. I didn't get the batim yet, but I have the parashios. Are you allowed to look at Tefillin parshiyos on Shabbos, not
same
the tefillin.
You would open it and learn from it.
Oh, exactly. It's kisvei kodesh. Parshiyos are called kisvei kodesh. Mutar lechatchila. Mutar lechatchila to open to have. If you have loose parshiyos, new parshiyos of tefillin, you want to go look at them. No issue whatsoever. People will be thinking, oh, muksa machan sarin kis. No, kisvei kodesh are never ever muksa. Parshiyos tefillin are never muksa. Megillah. Megillas Esther, right? It's a month before Purim, and you're all excited, and you want to go look at the Megillah, and look, and you want to show a child, you want to play with the Megillah, and show a child, you want to get ready, practice. It's mutter. Kisvei, there's no iser muksa on a Megillah, on anything that's kisvei kodesh, even if it's very expensive, very delicate. You will be inclined to say it's muksa on kis. No such thing. Anything that has the status of kisvei kodesh is mutter lichatchila. If a mezuzah falls off the wall, it's also mutter. A mezuzah is a bezayon, and it's since inside this kisvei kodesh, even though it's completely could be completely sealed, he says over here, he seems to say it doesn't make a difference. You can't be right. That's boina. To put a mezuzah back on the wall is a malacha derais of boina. You're attaching something permanently to the wall that you may not do, but you can pick it up off the floor. There's no problem whatsoever. Okay, other quick things we'll do. Some looks like a shofar. Is shofar muksa? Yes. Okay. Why is it muksa? Machmas chesaron kis.
It's even muksa Rosh Hashanah after you blew the tekiyas.
What? Yeah. No, it's not. On Rosh, that's the exception. On Rosh Hashanah, even after, since the day's day of blowing, on Rosh Hashanah you can do whatever you want with it. On Rosh Hashanah you can do with it whatever you want, the whole Rosh Hashanah. But on when it's not Rosh Hashanah, it's muksa. Machmas, this is a very interesting. This is a very controversial thing that he gets into. Is that the halacha change due to times? Years ago, in time of Chazal, it's clear from the Rishonim is that a shofar is muksa machmas is not muksa machmas chesaron kis. The shofar was no big deal. It was muksa machmas iser because he now let a blow a chochma vein of malacha muksa machmas iser and it has a permissible purpose to drink. They would fill up with water. The Gemara Ligameva, they would use that. It's a big deal. So you fill up with water. Today, in our day and age, the average person views a shofar to be muksa machmas chesaron kis because they can crack. And we don't use shofars for anything other than blowing shofar, so it's been upgraded. He says that the modern poskim of this generation have upgraded the status of a shofar from machmas iser to machmas chesaron kis. The chiddush to say that things are upgraded when because times have changed. You find that when it comes to
says that a Rosh Hashanah, after you heard the tzvi, everything you're not allowed to go around blowing the shofar.
You know, like you're allowed to be mezalzel in the tekiyas, but the shofar itself is not muksa. The shofar is not muksa. Let me tell you really what it says here. It says a Rosh Hashanah. A shofar is not muksa on Rosh Hashanah even after one has fulfilled the mitzvah of shofar. That's what it says. 27 Shulchan Aruch. This is the course in the Shulchan of the Mechaber. The Mechaber himself says there's no Issa Muksa.
Somebody needs you during the day. Okay.
Other. What about Elul v'Nesrog? Elul v'Nesrog. Now another thing that he says is the Chidushim Leirom that times have changed. The Gemara says an Esrog was not Muksa on Shabbos because you can smell it. He says no one today smells esrogim. It's not common. We have other things to smell. We're not interested in smelling esrogim. Okay, you want to smell it, but we're not into smelling esrogim. The melo and esrog is muksa machmas chisaron kis. Big nafkamina. That means very common. You come home from shul. Okay, it's a Yom Tov Shabbos. First day is Yom Tov. You put down the esrog on the table. And now you've come home Friday night and gets on the table. My esrog is still on the table. I need a setup for the Shabbos. You can't move it. You can't move it in a normal way, at least. You have to move it all day, your elbows. Because, and break the pidgin. Oh, so that's why you don't need those. That's why you have to move the entire table. It was the table of bosses. Then you put the day, it should be the rest of the day. Because, but whatever the situation is, because an esrog bizman hazeh, according to footnote number in the Mishnah Berurah, in fact. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says this. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's no longer ancient times. No one today is busy smelling esrogim. Memela, it's muksa machmas chisaron kis.
But you can use it to show your children what a Fleck is a...
No, no, doesn't make a difference. Oh, okay. No, muksa machmas chasar and kiss.
You're teaching him.
So you want to say that tefillin should be muksa machmas chasar and kiss. You know, yes, in good kasha. Yes, in very good kasha. Why don't you say tefillin or should muksa machmas chasar and kiss when esrog is not? Why? A tefillin's worth a lot more. It's a good pair of tefillin costs $1,500. And esrog, you're not going to pay more than $150. Average, that's the most you'll ever. $200, the most. $200.
Yeah,
so if esrog...
For 6 days...
Yeah.
You pay $100.
Till you see, for a life. For a life. But still, it's an expensive object. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. And his sefer, tefillin is muksamach, it's klitramach del yisr, and esrog is muksamach mas chasar and kiss, which memela has a lot of implications. Be very careful where you leave your esrog when you're coming from shul on Yom Tif, when you're going into Shabbos. Because if you're leaving it in a place, you just can't say, oh, it's muksa machmas iser as a klisha. It's not a kli. An esrog is not a kli. Klisha malachta li iser, and I can move it on Shabbos. No, you can't. You can't do that.
What happens if you decide on Shabbos you want to eat esrog?
No, but the daitai. Yeah, yeah. When Shabbos, unless you designate it, that's the halacha. There's halacha of designation. Designation requires either a mental note. Or a baisa. If you, the rules are in Shulchan Aruch, if you it's a strange halacha. If you're permanently going to use it for a permissible purpose, then you only need it to be change its status to machshava. But if you're only going to use it for this specific Shabbos, then you must do a maisa. If I have a stone, this stone will be forever and ever the stone I used to throw at someone on Shabbos. It's enough before Shabbos to be machashev. This stone, the oil on void, is going to be used for throwing. But only the Shabbos. All the stones are Yisrael on Miyuchada. I set aside for throwing at the cars. But if the kavana is only the Shabbos, this stone next week goes in the garbage. But this Shabbos, I want to use it for a permissible purpose. It's a machshav is not enough. You have to do a maisa. You have to do a maisa. Maisa. Okay. We'll go a Chanukah menorah. Chanukah menorah. What's the status? It's a kli shemalachdali iser, but it's even worse because many Chanukah menorahs are very expensive, and they become muksa machmas chasar and kiss. If it's a cheap menorah, then it's muksa kli shemalachdali iser l'tzorach guva mekayim. But if it's an expensive menorah, you're getting yourself into a more serious issue. Okay, Havdalah candle, same thing as a klisha malachta liyisr. So regular, it's a klisha malachta liyisr. All right, we will stop here. We'll pick up the sub on time. We'll take a little break, and then we'll talk about.